I'm being informed that the chairperson of mining will be joining us at a later stage. I wouldn't know the specific time as to later than what. I thought I was mandated to launch a bloodless coup, but the whip of the committee is here now, Mr. Manamel. I'm getting unsettled. Anyway, you are welcome. You are welcome, everybody is. Can we then go straight to item number one on our agenda? And just before that, I'm sorry. My apology. Introduction. Something very important, because we should know each other, whom are we dealing with, all of us. Why are we here? Who is here? As I said earlier on, my name is Tlokoma Serumule, ANC from Limpopo in the National Assembly. Can we? Members first. Kumuli Munamela.
Good morning. My name is Chris Khululu. I'm a member of the Mining Resources Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much.
Ian Lawless, I'm the DA spokesperson on Labour, on the Labour Committee.
Hendrik Schmidt, member of the Mining Portfolio Committee and spokesperson on mining for the DA.
I'm Elijah Mutamai from Rand Mutual Assurance.
My name is Patrick Machise, also from Rand Mutual Assurance.
Tembi Sakaka from the Office of the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases.
Lindy Lebacha from National Treasury.
Joanna Boyce from PMG.
Notice the psych behind the introduction of names. I can't remember a single name. But it's just 5 seconds away. Very funny. Thank you very much. Let's go on. I think it's your yeah. Let's move on.
Okay, thank you, Acting Chair. Thank you to members of Parliament and everyone who's here. Just by way of background, Rand Mutual Assurance is a licensed entity, licensed by the Minister of Labour, to provide injury on duty cover to mine employees. We work hand in hand with the CCOD, who cover a slightly different set of diseases relative to ours. So we don't cover every condition under the sun, but the specific conditions as laid out in COIDA. And the CCOD focuses on lung and respiratory diseases. Currently, we've got 21,000 people who are receiving benefits from RMA, and of those, 7,000 are your pensioners, and 8,000 are widows of people who passed on. We were requested to assist in identifying any pensionable cases amongst the ex-miners. We received a list sometime last year of 18,500 ex-miners. We spent some time going through that list, one individual at a time, and eventually we found that out of 18,500, only 20 correlated to individuals who were in our list. And of those 20, all of them had their claims finalized, meaning they were receiving pension where it was necessary. The rest of that list did not belong to Rand Mutual Assurance. We don't know what conditions they are suffering from, but it certainly is not an injury, because if it were, we would have gotten their names in our database, because as and when they get injured, mines will report them, and then we adjudicate on that and proceed with it. So based on that, it is our feeling that Rand Mutual Assurance has positively contributed to the resolution of this ever-burning challenge of compensation for ex-miners. But beyond this, there's absolutely nothing more that we feel we can add in terms of identification of these ex-miners. And one of the things we would like to request with due respect is perhaps to be exempted from any future participation with regards to specifically this issue, because we feel we have literally exhausted every possible avenue in terms of assisting the portfolio committee. We sent a one-pager which sort of summarized our effort, and when we spoke to Luvo, he lamented the fact that had he known before, he probably would have spared us the trip from Johannesburg to here. But on that note, that is all that we wanted to relay to yourself. We are more than prepared to assist the portfolio committee in whatever way we possibly can with regards to any future exercises where our contribution is deemed necessary. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Just before we get into questions and clarities and discussion, further discussion around this issue, on your presentations, let's welcome the chairperson of Labour Portfolio, Honourable Alec Ntshavheli.
This was unnecessarily short and straightforward. I don't know where to start.
Let me show you how we start this one. Good morning, everyone. I'm sorry, I'm very, very late. I woke up late, and there was a problem with traffic. It's inexplainable, but I'm here now. And thanks for having been here in this meeting earlier than me. I read the report, and there are some things that I need clarity on, particularly in relation to the method that we used to contact the claimants. I've seen on the report that you said you done the Premier's office, local government, district, municipalities and local municipalities. I'm not sure if we've actually used the traditional authority structure like contralesa, because all mine workers in these areas, when they get their jobs, they go through traditional authorities. And that we have the house of traditional leaders in the Eastern Cape, like we have them in all other legislatures. And then we have an organization of traditional leaders, that is contralesa. I thought those kind of bodies would have helped us. They would have made our job much more easier. Because in other areas like where I come from, if they say names is in Chabeleng, you know that there is Chief in Chabeleng and there's a village full of old in Chabelengs, and it has nothing to do with nepotism. It's just that we are all in Chabelengs. And it's even worse in my village. There are about three in Chabeleng chiefs. You know, so I was just saying that maybe if we revisit the methods and say, what other people can we bring on board to help us? It doesn't cost us a cent. It's the job of traditional authorities to know their subject. That is all I can say.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. It does give me a sense of belonging in terms of questions now. The figure 20 for me, it's a little worrying. 20 out of 18,000. You said something to the effect that the rest of the members captured, as the number indicates, did not belong to you.
Maybe just to reiterate the fact that Rand Mutual Assurance operate under license from the Minister of Labour, so we operate within those prescriptions. We follow COIDA in terms of our adjudication of claims, and Rand Mutual operate largely to adjudicate on injuries and a few select diseases as outlined in the Compensation Act. The bulk of other conditions like your lung and respiratory conditions would be dealt with by the CCOD. So as and when an injury occurs, it will be reported to us, we'll adjudicate on it and then take it from there. Maybe let me also clarify the fact that we cover 95% of all mine employees in the industry. The balance, which is 5%, would be with the compensation fund. But not only that, if there are any cases that predate 1994, meaning those that belong to the TBVC state, ordinarily those won't come to RMA. They'll go straight to the compensation fund. The list we were given of 18,500 head identity documents and various other pieces of information, that's the list we worked on. We dedicated the resource, we went through each one of them, and we found that out of the total list, there were only 20 who potentially belonged to the CCOD and ourselves. Because if you've got a lung or respiratory condition, you can claim from the CCOD, and if in turn you had an injury, you can claim from us, so you will receive compensation twice. So we deal primarily with those that would have come through injuries and various other limited medical or diseases. And that's the list I'm talking about. So the 20 that we identified had been settled. They are receiving their pensions. Their pensions are currently running as I'm speaking. And that's the...
Thanks. There were, in terms of the list, when we looked at them, the list of claimants, list of those who were paid, there were lots of discrepancies. One person will appear thrice as having been paid. Others were getting something like 10,000 rands more than the others. Some were getting something like
I remember the list was 27 rands that is owed to that person on that list. If I wish somebody had the list with them here so that I can show you the kind of things I'm talking about. The other one got 10,272 rand something. The list paid was getting 23 rand something. So for me, it doesn't make sense. You know, unless if we say, if there could be evidence that shows that this person was paid this amount, it was the first tranche in terms of payment, second tranche, the last tranche becomes the 27 rand. But if there's no explanatory note, then it gives other people, even those who just want to cause, you know, to create trouble, they'll point those things. How do I get 27 rand when somebody's getting, you know, 10,000 rand? You know, how do we reconcile this too? And without proper documentation or explanatory notes to the payment, you know, it becomes problematic. For instance, if we say 27 rand outstanding from the, or let's say first tranche was paid, second tranche, the last tranche of payment becomes this 27 rand. But anyway, why 27 rand? Why withhold the 27 rand from the last payment? I don't know if what I'm saying makes sense, but I found it really problematic because we couldn't explain it. And the person who tried to explain it said, from the department of, from UIF, he said that, no, you see, the formula for payment of UIF would depend on when did this person start at the mine, you know, and then how much they were earning. It was quite some formula, but it did not explain the gaps. And one name will appear about three times with different payments. And still there will be an outstanding amount at the end. So it is very problematic. And there were other instances where in our last meeting with the in the Eastern Cape, that there were people, other ex-mine workers and individuals, the smart people in villages, the clever ones were bringing people together and promising them that they are going to get their monies if they give them 600 rand, that there are certain forms that they need to form to fill, and those forms cost 600 rand. And the unemployed ex-mine workers will go to the machonisas to borrow money to pay the 600 rand. People in the department know about these people. And the Eastern Cape government knows about them. We ask them to take action to get these people arrested because they're actually dragging the name of the department in the mud, including your name too. Do you know about these people? And if you have heard about them, what is this that we have done to try and expose them? And if we have done something, the only thing that could be done that is absolutely reasonable, that is reasonable, is to take this matter and report it to the police. Have you reported this kind of criminals to the police? And if you have, what is the case number, if there is any?
Well, I think it's...
Just before you... I want us to go on this issue. Let's take a set of questions on this issue so that we're able to take more of them. For instance, for me, I'm not sure whether this belongs to you or me. But you see, I'm from a rural area. The level of literacy is so short. For instance, that is why I express my concern about this 20 years. If you go to a rural area, For instance, if you tell an old man who is about over 60, you encourage this person to go to a doctor, then you can check up. Firstly, the belief of this person is one to go to the doctor. The levels of belief, you can imagine how challenging this is. I'm not really sure as to in terms of your population, how that I need to feel more than I'm not very sure, but I think that is, there are a lot of people out there thinking that they need to make changes. Even if they know or they are aware, they feel this thing about fear coming out. I just wanted to express that in terms of I'm from that area, I'm from Kikuna, and I'm from Kikuna. And you can imagine how many people can see it for the not very long before we
thank you, Mr. Acting Chair. Can I just say, it does strike you as, you know, as they say in legal terms, it's an inducement of shock, you know, that you realize 18,500 names are produced and only 20 members qualify. But I also understand that you have strict guidelines in terms of the law, and you adhere strictly to it. So I'm not blaming you. I'm just saying, you know, it kind of takes you back, and I think that point has been made. But two things I'd like to ask. We've received a presentation dated the 23rd of July, 2010. It's a report on ex-mine workers, and was a presentation to the Labour Committee. Now, I'm not sure whether you've got a copy, do you? Somewhere on the towards the back, page number, I think the second last page, page 13, yeah. It refers to yourselves, Rand Mutual Assurance, and then it says RMA has received a list of 18,500 claimants from ex-mine workers. That's already in 2010, I think it was, this report is dated. 2010, and 1,000 of these have been investigated. Challenges, the list of 1,000 people that have been investigated contain old reference book and not a 13-digit barcoded ID. RMA needs to, an industry number to verify the validity of the application. It is proposed that TBA be asked. Can I ask you, because I think, you know, one needs an assurance that people have not been detrimentally affected by the fact that there seems to have been a problem at least with the ID. You know, that one can get an insurance to say there might have been individuals who did have the problem, we did praise them, and they were not, we were not liable to payment of benefits. And then secondly, just to put you in perspective, you are a private assurance company, something different than an insurance company. It's an assurance company. But coming from a mining perspective and not a labor perspective, what is it that you actually assure for? I've understood that you say injuries. In other words, they say there's a fall of rock on your arm and your arm is amputated. I suppose that's an injury. But what other medical possibilities, incidents, do you then assure for versus vis-a-vis CCOD? Just for my own interest. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
thank you, Acting Chair. If we go back to that same page that my colleague was referring to, at that stage, which is the date of the July 2010, you say 1,000 have been investigated. And today your presentation says that you investigated 18,500. Are you sure? If you'd only done 1,000 by last July, are you absolutely sure that you investigated every claim in those 18,500 claims? My second question is, with regards to tracing, you say that you need 13-digit barcoded ID. What happened prior to having the 13-digit barcoded ID? My understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that Rand Mutual exists prior to 94, long before. So you had records before that using reference books. Where are those records, and why can't you trace those people using their reference books? Because you've already acknowledged now that in those days, Rand Mutual already existed. You already had a database back then. Can you not check using the reference book numbers on the older database? I don't understand why that can't be done. Thirdly, can you also explain, in terms of your role, the compensation fund doesn't only insure in terms of actual injuries for medical payments, but they also pay pensions or portions of pensions depending on the permanent disability or the temporary disability of the person. So can you explain, do you do that as well? Or do you only pay medical expenses for the treatment? So what I'm asking is, your assurance, does it have a pension aspect, or does it only have a medical claim aspect? If the person is permanently disabled, would you pay them a pension, or would you not? Would you only pay for the operation and the medicine? If you can explain that, thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. In 1987, a worker, namely Mr. Tien Yustason, got injured outside this country, in one of the four African countries, in a mine. And from 1987, everything, immediately after the injury, he was flown to a hospital in South Africa for medical attention, and every paperwork was done, relevant paperwork that would be required for the claiming purposes. But he was working for Rand Mutual. Rand Mutual refused to pay. However, there was an intervention by labor and compensation legal representative Andile, by the name of Andile, and ultimately Rand Mutual was actually instructed legally to pay, to take responsibility, and they agreed to do so. But during the course of time, they decided they don't want to pay. I want to know, why is it that it takes a battle for Rand Mutual to pay people injured in their employ? Thanks.
I think I'm confused. You know, I'm suffering the crisis of coming late into a meeting. I thought you are from the Compensation Act, and now I realize, as the honourable member was asking questions, he was directing them directly to us as CCOD. Yeah, where is the commissioner? Are you the commissioner? I don't want to drill this meeting by going back to say, but why is the commissioner not here? Because as the commissioner is the senior most answerable person in this, you know, and that if the commissioner is not around, then the director general of the department must come and account. I find it really disturbing because I don't know why the commissioner is not here. But anyway, it doesn't stall the meeting. I think we should continue. But I think you should take that note to him that we are, whoever the commissioner is, that we are not very happy about the commissioner's absence in this meeting. Yeah, I actually wonder if members want to comment about this later, you know, about the absence of the commissioner in this meeting. But we will make our presentation to the minister and the director general about the absence of this person from this meeting.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe you should have indicated that you wanted to take over. why can't we say, Comrade Chair, maybe during tea break you can further discuss the matter with so that you arrive at a particular understanding and report back if it's possible. I understand that. I do appreciate the difficulty. I understand. That's why I'm suggesting. I'm not trying to point a finger without alternative. You can go on.
Thank you. I think the first question, obviously there's concern that why out of 18,500 we could only come up with 20. And I've tried to explain it by saying that in the mining industry up until now, and perhaps if people have been following the Mankai judgment, you'll appreciate the fact that you're covered by two different pieces of legislation. The first one is COIDA, which deals specifically with diseases and injuries. The second one is Odingwa, where if you're a controlled mine, only then are you covered for a set of conditions, largely around lung and respiratory diseases. My colleague will explain that. So if it so happened that you've got a lung condition, which was pretty prevalent during our golden days, when the gold industry was the industry, chances are high that you will have a lung or respiratory condition. It's a latent condition, and you will, as a consequence of that, claim from the CCOD. If the opposite happens, you've got an injury or any of the other diseases not covered under the CCOD, only then will you come to us for cover. However, it could potentially happen that you have a lung and respiratory disease and you get injured. On that score, you will claim on both. In much the same way as if you're injured the first time under COIDA and you're injured the second time, you can get twice the compensation that you would have gotten. So it is solely for that reason that we think that is why we could only come up with 20. It wasn't a denial of care. We've got a full list of all the people who have ever claimed from us on a database. So it's very quick and easy to identify who's in and who's not. Now, there was the second question of...
I thought you took note of the fact that the chairperson of the Labour Committee raised an issue earlier on about the confusing information with regard to figures. Did you take note of that? The payments with regard to documented figures.
Yeah, it is difficult for me to comment on that one because the way we operate, which I'll sort of anchor on what you ask, is under COIDA, you're entitled to medical treatment if you get injured. You're entitled to TTDs, is temporary total disablement. That is your income replacement as you're being treated. You're entitled to PD lump sum. This is a pension that you get if your injury is less than 30% as quantified by the legislation. You're entitled to monthly pension if your injury is above 30%. You're entitled to funeral expenses if you pass on. And your family is entitled to monthly pension, again, in addition to the funeral cover if your family, if you pass on. So all those are benefits that are enshrined in the legislation. And if one takes a contextual overview of that, it's part of the broader social security protection that the Constitution has proposed. So we operate on the other space, opposite of social protection, in social security, in much the same way as your REF and various other pieces of legislation would do. So we are bound not only by law, but by provisional settlement power signed by the minister to ensure that we honor all our obligations as enshrined in the legislation, including regular monthly reporting to the compensation fund. So we get audited almost every month. We submit all our documents, they evaluate them, and if there are questions to be asked, they'll come back and clarify those with us. So that is why I'm saying the 18,000, we've got 21,000 pensionable cases on our system. 7,000 of them are your pensioners, what we call injured people, primary injured people. 8,000 of those are the widows. These are the wives of the people who died whilst on duty. And the balance are the children of those people who passed on. So we've got full statistics which we can avail to anyone who wants to audit just to satisfy themselves. There was a question around tracing to say why ID, etc. We cover people from across the region, Malawi, Botswana, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, and they ordinarily would use, they call them company numbers, because the bulk of them were recruited at that stage through TEBA. So TEBA will allocate a number to them. And that is the number that we use to trace them back. If they are non-South Africans, if they are South Africans, ordinarily you use the ID. And that is the triangulation that we try to use to trace dependents. And maybe just to indicate, to impress on the committee, how we deal with these cases. If there's a fatal injury in the mine, there was a Pakama incident in Valcom. What we normally do is we will avail ourselves. We've got branches in key mining areas, Valcom, Carletonville, Rustenburg, Emalahleni, Johannesburg, as well as Kimberley. And those branches are strategically placed to address to the immediate needs of people in that area, but also to provide access to mine employees in that area. So whenever there's a fatal, we will collect all the information. We interact with the mine. We interact with TEBA, which is still very much has got presence in those mines. They assist us with their tracing. And we will set up a tracing arrangement in instances where, for example, we don't know the next of kin of the mine employee who was injured at our own expense. And once we find them, only then can we allocate the appropriate compensation for that family or for that group of individuals. And we do that within a period of 6 weeks where we can. However, there are cultural issues that we have to observe that we can't do much about. So it is against that background that we are saying we have looked at this list. We haven't found any other beyond the 20 who are entitled to compensation. However, if there are any, we are more than willing to provide the compensation should it be that compensation, the case was reported and we didn't pay. So that was the context in which I was responding to that. There was a question to explain. Do you do that as well? You wanted to clarify.
I just wanted the condition under which you normally pay, and I think you clarified that.
Okay. There's an issue that was raised which unfortunately tends to create a very negative impression of RMA. And it was said that why is it that it's so difficult for RMA to pay? Before I respond to that, let me put it this way. Before 1974, black people were not allowed to certain benefits under the WCA, the old WCA. You'll get $27 or $50, and that's it. You go home. What RMA did was to introduce a benefit called special allowance. special allowance allows people who before 1974 who got compensation from us to access at the very least 2,000 rand a month and medical treatment. And we have sought to do that outside the legislative provisions. There was no compulsion at all for us to do that. It was out of sheer consideration of the plight of the very people we're insuring. And that project is still running as I'm speaking. The second project I want to mention is what you call family allowance, where if you are a 100% case, meaning a quadriplegic, and you've got two children or more, we would increase your compensation in order to assist you to contend with the challenges that the family might face in that regard. So there has been projects outside the purview of the legislation that we have sought to introduce with a view to assist minors who were injured on duty. The West Hazen case is currently under debate, and I don't think it will be appropriate to discuss it here, but if Parliament wants me to, I'll be more than happy to entertain it. We are meeting with Myra and Mr. Oosthuizen on Friday, because let me put it bluntly, it is a very complicated case. It has been presented as if it's a straightforward case. It is not. And let me put it this way, it is the kind of case which, if it were to be dealt with the way it has been presented to us, then I'm saying we should cover everyone, every South African who has gone to Iraq under the compensation fund. We should cover every South African who, on their own volition, have gone out and sought employment in other settings under the compensation fund. And I can tell you now, the compensation fund will sink before it takes off. So I would rather you allow us to deal with Mr. Horses and Myra, that's their partner, and then we'll get back to you. If there's a need to report back to the portfolio committee, I'll be more than happy to do that. Thanks.
I was in continuous contact with the two persons you've mentioned, the injured and the wife, and they requested that I assist them because they don't get any luck with the rent mutual assurance. And I have a letter, some letters from them in my office. This is why I'm raising it here, because I have been phoning compensation office many times talking about this case, and this is why I have all the details. But the problem is, like, we got stuck at the point of payment, which was supposed to be handled by the employer, the rent mutual. And there's nothing to hide. I would say be open with it. We want to know what is happening.
Yeah, just before you say that, let's give Mr. Owens some questions.
Yes. So I want to go back to page 13, because I don't think you've clarified it, the problem enough for me. Page 13 of this report of the Department of Labor, where it has this page about Rand Mutual Insurance. You say out of the 18,500, 1,000 have been investigated, and I asked you whether you are certain that the rest, which is 17,500, have been investigated and that you finalized your investigation on those other 17,500 since July last year. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I'm still not happy about the answer on this reference books and this 13-digit barcode and the industry number. I understand your explanation that an industry number is allocated for foreign workers. I understand that. But unless this report is wrong, which perhaps it is wrong and you can clarify for me, but it says here, the 1,000 people that have been investigated contain old reference books and not the 13-digit barcoded ID. So this page is confusing because I need to understand. Number one, have you investigated all 18,500? Number two, are there any cases which you can't investigate because they have the wrong kind of number? Do they have not an ID and a reference book instead, or whatever the case is? Are there people you can't investigate because you don't have the proper identification, whether it be a reference book, an ID, or an industry number? Because this committee needs to assure itself that you have investigated everybody. And if you investigated all 18,500 and you found a reference number or a case number or an ID number or a reference book or an industry number and you've done them all, then of course case closed. Then, see, this committee has been dealing with this thing for a very long time. This problem was brought to the attention of President Mandela when he was the president. And a joint committee was established by President Mandela all those years ago. And this thing is still on our agenda. So we need to get this thing finalized. We need to know that you have used whatever numbers necessary to identify these people and that you've investigated all of them and that there is nothing more that you can do. But we need some proof of that, because these people come to this parliamentary committee over and over and over again saying they've still got no proper closure, no answer, no whatever else. And this committee needs to be absolutely certain, case closed. Because, quite honestly, Parliament's tired of this problem. We want to pack this thing away. But we can't pack this thing away if people believe they've not been helped and they should have been helped. And so that's why we need assurances on this thing. We don't need an answer that we don't completely understand with reference numbers and ID books and all that jazz. I understood the part about the foreign workers, so you don't need to explain that again. I understand that. What I don't understand is the part about South Africans. Have you exhausted all means, or are you still under the impression that there are some you can't investigate because you can't identify them? I need to know that. Thanks.
Yeah, Mr. Ollis, I will also want to be persuaded otherwise, because I'll continuously remain convinced that we are not doing enough. Because even if people used to use Book of Life in Transkei, in Ciskei, in Leboa, in everywhere else. But these people know each other. They know, they very well know each other, who was where, when, who got injured when. The information is there. The identification, because you would understand the confusion that used to exist in these areas. Book of Life in Transkei, Leboa ID. But the information, I believe, is there. I mean, these people know each other. And I think if you go to traditional leaders' offices, some of this information is still can be found. The families are still there. Even if members have passed on, you can come in, honorable member. Ma'am, you will follow.
Thank you, Chairperson, but I think my question has already been covered, but just to add that perhaps to also shorten this, because the point of the matter is very specific to a particular number of 18,500 people, can we get a breakdown or a list of those names and what is the status thus far presently for us to be able to determine if this is coming to a closure or not? I'm just trying to condense what has been said and avoiding to repeat what has been asked, because it's as if they are not coming to the point about the answer.
Honourable Member?
Yes, I think a list from your side probably clarifies from that point of view. A list from the Compensation Commission would also clarify, so I think all those lists need to be provided to the Department of Labour. Mm-hmm. But can I just ask, you raised a matter with regards to the Nkonyama matter, the Constitutional Court matter. That's the matter you referred to. Because that matter in itself might have an impact on the way business is being done in terms of payment of assurance, payment of claims in terms of lung disease, those kind of issues. Are you of the view, it's not been settled yet, it is not a matter which is forcing any or has enforced any further liability on you, but do you foresee that it could, if what the Constitutional Court decided upon 2 or 3 months ago, assist any of these other claimants in any possible way? In other words, what I'm saying is, considering what the Makanyama, or I'm not sure exactly what the name is at the moment, but Makanye. Yes, he passed away 2 days before the Constitutional Court, in fact, delivers a judgment. That's correct. Now, would that have an impact on any of these possible claimants? In other words, do we need to keep the file open, or could that be a possibility to benefit any of those claimants?
Okay. Just to come to your question, our system has got provision to search or trace using an ID number or the previous reference book numbers. Out of the list which we have of the 20, persons which we are able to trace, coincidentally, they were traced on their reference book numbers. We've got the copy, we can avail that to you. So we did use both the ID and the reference book numbers. Where we had challenges was where we did not even have the ID number or the reference book numbers. So I hope that has been clarified. We did use the reference book numbers on all the 20 cases. Yes, yeah. And then the other thing which I want to clarify is that this list of 18,000 ex-minors, originally, we got that from the CCOD. On that list, all those cases are registered with the CCOD. They've got claim numbers in the form of PH numbers, the old person's number. The CCOD is currently looking at those, unpaid benefits, whatever. From our side, they only requested us to check if maybe those cases were maybe also some of them or all of them registered with RMA. So the issue is here that 18,000 is a list with the registered numbers from the CCOD. Now we have only managed to trace those 20 cases which have been finalized. And presently from RMA, we don't have any unpaid benefits. So CCOD is currently working on those, tracing all those potential applicants from that list of 18,000 employment workers. So I hope that clarifies.
Maybe what we need to do. Maybe what we need to do now is
I would suggest we allow the CCOD to make its presentation. And then we go for tea. When we come back, we continue with the CCOD and see as to then how do we consolidate the responses and answers of questions that still remain.
Could I just have the answer to that question I posed? Because it's before... Okay,
thanks. I think if one were to look at the Mankai judgment in context as delivered by Judge Sisi Khampempe, it seemed to suggest that perhaps there needs to be normalization of cover of mining employees in the environment in which we operate. And that's a debate that obviously policymakers can entertain. But what he did was to put to bed this anomaly between Khoida and Odingwa, where it clarified that, yes, there are conditions that has got to do with lung and respiratory diseases that the CCOD should ordinarily deal with. And the challenge there was the quantum, because Mankai was contesting the quantum of the compensation that they were getting, which is a completely different debate. It obviously delineated responsibility in terms of COIDA being a no-fault legislation where the only thing you can do is to contest negligence to get an increased compensation. And Odingwa, where your common law right to sue is protected. And that has been soundly pronounced, which is why the talk of class actions by Richard Spoor and other parties.
Thanks. Can we then proceed in that manner? Can you go on and make your presentation so that when we come back from Tiwe, we'll be able to see as to how do we consolidate.
Chairperson, before we continue, can I just check on something with Ren Mutual Assurance? Are they part of this the ITT that has been formed presently? Are they part of that ITT to try and coordinate their information and make sure that they come to a closure about the whole task? Because I think the last time we had a meeting in Umtata, there was even deadlines that were being put forth. I'm just checking.
Yeah, we have been interacting with the UIF in terms of adjudicating on this measure. In fact, that's how we were roped in. So we, as and when we are requested to make a contribution, we normally do. We've returned them reports. We've clarified whatever they wanted, but we don't directly participate since our last meeting in, I think, the Eastern Cape.
We'll come back to
Thank you, Acting Chair. I'm from the Office of the Compensation Commissioner for Occupational Diseases. We are governed by ODIMO, Occupational Diseases in Mines and Works Act, and the mandate is solely to compensate the miners and ex-miners who have been certified to be suffering from lung-related diseases. I'm not sure whether, the Office of the Compensation Commissioner got involved after 1994 when the 54 million was transferred to CCOD from the former Transkei and Ciskei. Then the Eastern Cape ex-mine workers union, they came up with a number of people that need to be compensated, hence the 18,500 people. We compiled the list together, CCOD and the ex-mine workers union. And then the task team was appointed by the Premier of the Eastern Cape. The Office of the Premier was coordinating the task team, and the members, there were representatives from the Department of Health, the Provincial Department of Health, and the Chamber of Mines, the Provincial Department of Labor, the ex-mine workers union, the House of Traditional Leaders, and the NUM. And then the minister, out of the 18,500 people that were identified that they are beneficiaries to the 54 million, the minister of health, the former minister of health, approved that they must be paid each 2,700. And then we sent people from the office to Eastern Cape, so that they can trace these people and pay them in the Eastern Cape. And then that happened. And then they published the names in hospitals, labor centers, standard banks. And then they also tried to call those names over the radio stations around Eastern Cape, I think the community radios. And then they also did that in 2005. And also in 2009, we went there for about 4 months after the intervention of the parliament and the office of the president. And then the ex-mine workers, we agreed that they must be part of this. They must help us to trace these people. As a result, we compensated them. The DG, our former DG, approved that at least they must get something because they were really helping us. And then in 2009, we came up with a project plan that we must contact the district municipalities and try to publish the those lists, that 18,500. Because some were saying, I haven't paid, but from the records, they were paid. So we said, everybody must come, and then we check from our computers that and give you the proof if you were paid. But there were challenges, of course, because people were paid, and only to find out that he didn't receive the money. The money is still with Steba. Nobody knows what happened to the money, but it was withdrawn from the bank. And then, but we are dealing with those challenges internally. And then the labor offices, we published them last year. And their reports, we formed a steering committee, the Eastern Cape Steering Committee, which involves the Department of Labor, Health, and the Premier's Office, and also the ex-mine workers. And we were giving reports to them every week when we were there doing the tracing and payments. And then also we were reporting to the interdepartmental task team, and also to the Labor Portfolio Committee. And we paid about over 12,200 then, and then we agreed that the process must be an ongoing process. Those that have not been paid must go to the office and complete form and get paid. And then we agreed that after the tracing in 2009, we agreed that we must issue a gazette that closes the project, and we closed it formally. So, and the gazette number was 32452. We then, after we have closed, we noticed that there are some people that were not paid and the money is still there. Then we said, no, it's fine, let us pay those that have not been paid, but we are taking the project as closed. And then these were the recommendations that we agreed on, that we will continue paying them, and then we will not report to the steering committee. We'll take these project is our day-to-day business. The next slide is the progress since the appearance in the Labor Portfolio Committee. We have paid, I think this is from January, we have paid about 25, and then 63 it's in progress, which includes the one we received this week from the ex-mine workers union president. The problem is why this is dragging. It's the witnesses are not this. Let me say, we agreed when we were doing the project plan and everything, we agreed that the witnesses must be the family members, so we can be sure that this money belongs to the right person. What happens now when the forms come to the office, you'll find out that the witnesses are not from the same family. It's from different surnames. And so it's we can't pay if somebody's witnesses from another family that this is the right beneficiary. And then also the affidavit confirming the relationship of the claimant and the miner are prepared by tribal authorities from other districts. We believe that if somebody is from Zimkulu, if the tribal authority can't confirm that there's a relationship, the tribal authority from Bizana, for example, can't say this is from, there is a relationship between the claimant and the miner. So from our agreement, we say at least it must be a tribal authority from where you come from. And then also the application forms, they come incomplete. There won't be signatures. If there's no signature, at least there must be a fingerprint. And hence we are getting a small number of claims to pay. And the list is in districts. So we see that, for example, there's Mzimkulu. Few people are being paid from Mzimkulu. So we agreed in the office that in August we should go and do awareness to Mzimkulu area, so that maybe they didn't do enough when they went to those districts, and then before we say we are done or we do the awareness bit. Thank you.
Thank you from COD. Ma'am, I wouldn't know. I thought we agreed. I made a suggestion. Yeah, I thought we agreed we are going for tea. When we come back, then we can be able to. Thank you. Can go for tea for the next 10 minutes, and take it from there. And I wish to hand over the chair now. I don't think I'm going to.
Thank you.